Let's go to the Lord in prayer before we begin this morning. Dear Father God, I thank you for this day, God. I thank you for all that you have done for us in these past weeks, God. Lord, I thank you that you have brought us safe thus far, God, and that you will take us safely from here, God. Lord, I pray that you will be with us this morning, Lord, as we try to hear from your word, God, and try to hear what it is, God, that you want to say to us this morning, God. Oh, we love you so much, God. We pray all these things in the awesome power and might of your name. Amen. Well, I'm glad to be up here this morning. I got to tell you, I'm pretty tired, and so we might as well get that over with. No false pretenses here. We had a great week at camp, and we saw God move very powerfully. God came after us hard all week, as only God can do. Through the teaching and the music and the time we had in our cabin, we had a great time in our cabin. We shared, and we saw four kids that God saved. We saw four kids that got rededicated, to borrow a phrase. And we saw lots of confessed sins, some sins that had never seen the light of day before, people that were set free from things that had been binding them for a long, long time. And in talking with the students towards the end of the week, I felt like it kept coming back up on a central theme, and I wanted to talk that over with you this morning and share that with you. We talked to the students about when you get back from here, life is still going to be hard. We seem to be under the impression that following God is easy, and that He wants us to be happy, which He does, and that if we commit to Him, if we follow Him, then everything will fall into place, and that life gets better after salvation, you know. Luke 9:23, if any man wants to fall after me, he must take up his pillow and follow me. Isn't that what it says? When we read it, we think that subconsciously in our mind. It doesn't say pillow. It says take up your cross. Take up your instrument of death and your instrument of torture in those things, and follow me. I spoke with a student this week, and their parents are divorced. One is bipolar and depressive and in and out of places, and they don't know if they love him. And he made a decision for Christ this week, and he got saved. And I said, you know what? When you come home, your parents are still going to be divorced. Now, for you adults out there, we need to listen up. This is not just directed at the students. This is for all of us this morning. We think that life should be easy. We love God. We try and do the right thing. Then why don't things fall into place? Some of you have followed Christ for a long time, a very long time, longer than I have been alive. And you have been fervently devoted to Him. And you have given yourself to the church, to this church, through years and years of sacrifice and financial support and spiritual support and emotional support, and you have seen things go up and down and up and down, and you have been fervently devoted to Christ, having great faith. This morning we're going to be in Hebrews chapter 11, so you can turn there if you want. It's going to be a few minutes before we start reading, but you can go ahead and turn there. This is, in Hebrews chapter 11, it's kind of referred to sometimes as the Hall of Faith or the Hall of Fame. It's the story of men and women who had great faith, and they saw God do great things in their life. In Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, it says, "It is by grace you have been saved through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast." Faith is of the utmost importance in our life. The last time I shared with you, we talked about the importance of placing your faith in God alone, of knowing that, of just knowing Him, simply and completely knowing Him fully, and how that is enough for us. That's enough for us, and that's enough for everyone else. Now, as we follow God, we have to trust Him. We have to trust Him. Sarah and I got back yesterday. We began to unpack and after our nap, and we began to unpack and to talk and about the week, and the students had some questions that they asked us about following God. Questions that they asked and questions that a lot of us have also. If you followed God for one day, if you followed God for 50 years, how do I know that He hears me? How do I know that? How do I follow Him? How do I hear Him? How do I go back home to the living hell that is my life and continue to follow Him? Some of you, I think, how can I come here to church when it is so good and so uplifting and so encouraging to be around these people and then to go home and to face my life? How can we do that? It's faith. It's a simple answer. It seems too simple, honestly. And to be honest, I hate to say that to students, because until you've been there, until you've been through, and you've come out on the other side, it's not something that you fully understand. Trust God, I told some people this week. And I've been in some dark places in my life, and people have told me that, and you know what it did? It just made me angry. Trust God, you know, and I want to say, get out of here. I don't want to talk to you. I don't want to hear about trusting God. You don't understand the things that go on every day. You don't understand the tragedy. You don't understand the trials and all the things that go on. But it's true. Have faith in God. And Hebrews 11 is an example of what faith can do. And we're going to run through the whole chapter. So bear with us. If it seems like too much, then, well, that's too bad because I'm in charge up here. So you can come to me later and I'll forgive you. In Hebrews chapter 11, we're going to start in verse 1. It says, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Now already, faith is not making sense to me. It's the assurance of things hoped for. How can you be sure about something you hope for? It's the conviction of things not seen. How can you know something is there that you don't see? We're already one verse into it, and I'm already confused. You know? But that's it. It's the paradox. It's the whole Christian life is a paradox. It's that we are dead so that we can live. It's that we die to ourselves so that we can follow Christ. It's that we give up all of our dreams so we can have everything we ever wanted. That's what the Christian life is. Faith is the evidence of things hoped for, the substance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. It's not something tangible. It's not something you can see or hear or feel. And in fact, when in my life, and I'm sure in your life too, when we face great times of tragedy, the doubt and the darkness seem much more real. I can feel the doubt. I can feel the anger. I can feel the tragedy in my life. And faith is not always something that way that you can feel. But you can do great things with faith. It says in verse 2, for by it the men of old gained approval. And by faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. And then it goes through and it starts naming men and women of the Old Testament specifically who follow God. And what had got them. It says, by faith, in verse 4, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain. In verse 5, it says, by faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death. In Genesis chapter 6, I believe, it says that Enoch walked with God so closely that God said, you know what, you're so close to me, you might as well come on up. And so he took him up. He trusted God so much that God took him. He never died. He took him up. In verse 6 it says, and without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. Without faith it is impossible to please God, that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. Now that's good to me. That's good to hear. You know why? Because I do try and seek after God, and I like rewards. You know, I like being rewarded for things. We all do. We work So not just for fun, but so we can get a paycheck, so we can be rewarded. We do these things so that we can be rewarded. And God says, if you diligently seek me, if you really come after, if you really follow, then I will reward you. And so he keeps going on in verse 7. It says, by faith, Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen, prepared an ark for the salvation of his household. On down to verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance. And when he went out, he didn't know where he was going. Verse 10, for he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Verse 11, by faith, even Sarah, Abraham's wife, herself received ability to conceive, even beyond the proper time of life, since she who considered him faithful has promised. Skip on down to verse 17. It says, by faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises was offering up his only begotten son. Verse 20, it says, by faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau, even regarding the things to come. And by faith Jacob, as he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning on the top of a staff. And by faith Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the exodus of the sons of Israel and gave orders concerning his bones. When Joseph died, they were still living in Egypt, and Joseph said, one day God is going to deliver us from this place, and I don't want you to leave me here. I want you to take my bones. When they were delivered, it was quite some time later, 400 years. Take whatever is left of me, said, and carry it with you into the promised land, because I want to receive what God has promised me. In verse 23, it says, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents, because they saw he was a beautiful child, and they were not afraid of the king. By faith Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Verse 27, by faith he left Egypt, not fearing the king. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood. Verse 29, by faith they passed through the Red Sea as though they were passing through dry land, and the Egyptians, when they attempted it, were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith Rahab the harlot did not perish along with those who were disobedient, after she had welcomed the spies in peace. And so it goes on and on and on, and he's going through this, and I got to tell you, this is great stuff. If we follow God, if we have faith, we can do these things. We can do these things. That's what God is teaching us through here. Isn't this excite you? Isn't this something that wants to motivate you and move you on? And it keeps going. In verse 32, he says, and what more shall I say? For time will fail me if I tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, of David and Samuel and of the prophets, who by faith conquered kingdoms and performed acts of righteousness. They obtained promises. They shut the mouths of lions. They squenched the power of fire. They escaped the edge of the sword. From weaknesses they were made strong. They became mighty in war, and they put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection, and others were tortured, it says, not accepting their release in order that they might obtain a better resurrection. This is great things. This is God telling us what we can do. Now, we read through this and it seems all kind of foreign and everything. You know, I've never seen a lion in this part of the state. But if I had to, I know. Oh, if I had faith, what the Scripture is telling me is that I can shut the mouth of lions. I can quench fire. I can escape the edge of the sword. Faith can take us to new heights in God. And I love Hebrews 11 for this reason. And as we come here this morning, and as we're talking about life being hard, this reminds us of what faith is capable of, the things that can happen, of the things that can go on. But guess what? It doesn't end there. It keeps going. Look in verse 36. It says, And others experienced mockings and scourgings and chains and imprisonment. And they were stoned and they were sawn in half. And they were tempted and they were put to death with the sword. And they went about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and ill-treated, men of whom the world was not worthy, wandering in deserts and mountains and caves and holes in the ground. I got to tell you, that's not so exciting. That first part about Abraham having faith and stepping out, and Sarah conceiving when she was well beyond the age, and Noah listening to God and spending 600 years building an ark, and Abraham stepping out and following God, and Jacob trusting God, and Joseph trusting God, even when he sat in prison for so long. That's good, and that's exciting, and that motivates me, and that makes me want to go out and take the world on. I really wish it ended there. I really wish it ended there, but it doesn't. Trial and tragedy and persecution and death and torture and prison, these are also the realities of faith. That's not as exciting. That doesn't really motivate me. It doesn't make me want to get up and go take the world on. But this is the reality of life. This is the reality of following God. We live in a fallen world. We live in a world where sin is entered in. It's entered in all of us. We live in a fallen world with fallen people. And we will be tried for our faith. I've heard this preached on lots of times. I'm sure you have too. And lots of times it ends there. But that's not the whole thing. And if I ended there and we talked about the great things faith can do, it can conquer lions and it can throw mountains into the sea and it can part the Red Sea and it can do all these things, I would be doing you an injustice, because that's not it. And many of you who have followed God for so long have given your everything to Him. You have also known great tragedy. You have also known great trial. You've lost a spouse. You've lost a child. You have children who are far from God, and it tears you up inside. You have divorce in your family. You have disease. There's cancer. You face great financial troubles, and on and on and on I could go. And if we all took the time here to stand up and share and to be honest, we could all share. And we all try to follow God. That's why we're here. Well, we all try to follow God and to do the right thing and to do what we're supposed to, but we still face great tragedy in our life. So, what's the problem? Well, You must just not have enough faith, right? If you had more faith, then you wouldn't experience these things. You know, I've had people tell me, you know, if I had more faith, that I wouldn't stutter when I talk. You know, it makes me want to punch them in the face. You know, with the love of Jesus. You know, and get one of the really big Bibles like this one here and go after them with it, you know? You just must not have enough faith. If you stayed home this morning, you flipped on the TV, or really any time at all, flipped on the TV, you would see that message preached all over. If you believed more, if you trusted more, then you wouldn't have faith, because God wants us to be healthy and wealthy and wise, and God has a great plan for us and all these things, you know? Now, you know, we have all faced great trials in our life, you know, and I've dealt with students and adults who have faced anxiety attacks and depression. Students who have lost their mother, she came home and was getting out groceries and had an aneurysm and died right there on the spot. Are you supposed to sit there and tell them, well, just have faith, and God will work it all out, it'll be good? You know, those of you who are married here, if you turn and look at each other, one of you is going to die first. I'm glad that's not a pain I've had to know, and some of you had, but great tragedy and pain is going to come in your life. So what are we going to do? I've I've seen a lot of dark times in my life. I'm not real old, but I've had times in my life when I've been full of anger and bitterness, so much so that it ate me alive. It made me physically sick. It made me think about things that I didn't want to even talk about. I still don't. And depression and anger at God. I've tried to follow God and do the right thing, and it's left me homeless, living off the kindness of friends, of people who let me sleep on their couch, and financial problems and all these things. But through it all, we still had to have faith. Not that it would be okay, or that God would make it work out, or that everything would work out and my father would be healed of cancer, or that for some of you that that your child who was sick who would get better, that this financial trouble would pass. Not that everything at God would make it all right, and that you would win the lottery, or they would be miraculously healed, because sometimes he doesn't. Sometimes he doesn't. It doesn't always work that way. But we got to have faith that God is in control and that our reward is in heaven. In verse 39 and 40 here at the end of the chapter it says, "And all of these, having gained approval through their faith, they did not receive what was promised, because God had providing something better for us, so that apart from us, they should not be made perfect." They followed God their whole life, and it was full of tragedy and trial and difficulty. Some people were tortured for following God. It says they were mocked and scourged, and they were stoned, and they were sawn in half, and they were tempted, and they were put to death with the sword, and they had to wander about in sheepskins and goatskins and live in caves and holes in the ground. They were tortured for following God, not just because of the stuff in life that happens, but specifically, explicitly, because of their faith. Because they chose to follow God, they were tortured, as in no faith in God, no torture. But they still had to have faith in God, and still they followed. A lot of people's favorite verses, Jeremiah 29:11, and it's a good verse, and you can find it on t-shirts and pencils and pens and mugs and bumper stickers and wall hangings and anything you want, really. It says, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to give you a future and a hope, plans to prosper you and not to harm you." And we love that, and we hold on to it, and we cling to it, but sometimes we forget about the verses up above that. Right above that, the prophet Jeremiah has told them, look, they've just been captured by the pagan nation Babylon, and he says, look, you're going to be in captivity for a long time. You're going to be living away from your home for 70 years, so you might as well get used to it. You might as well marry and be married and have children and plant crops and establish homes and all these things, because you're going to be in captivity for a while. And then verse 11 comes and he says, but don't worry, I've got a plan. Now, it's not as exciting when we hear it that way, is it? But this is what God is telling us. There are people who followed God desperately. This very morning, there are people who have been doing nothing more than try to follow God, and they sit in jail for it in places like China or Zimbabwe or Indonesia or Pakistan or India. These people have been trying to follow God, have been trying to do the right thing, have been trying to do what God has called them to, and they still face these tragedies. So, what does this mean to us? This is not a real happy-go-lucky sermon this morning, but what does this mean to us? It means following God is hard. Let nobody tell you any different. It's going to be hard, and it's going to take everything you got. And sometimes it'll take more than what you've got. There have been times when I've sat before God and I've said, God, I can't do this anymore. I can't do this anymore. There have been times in my life when I've wanted to walk away from God with every fiber of my being. And I've told them that, much like the Psalms do. like David says in the psalmist, said, God, I can't do this anymore. I can't keep following you. I can't keep trusting and keep getting hurt and keep facing trial and tragedy, persecution, and all these things. And in those situations, God gave me the faith. Following God is difficult. My natural inclination is to rebel against God, to run from Him, to turn away. But when we have faith in God, even through the hard things, we can do great things in God. Like it spoke about in the first part of the chapters, these are difficult things because a worldwide flood isn't going to come again, and God's not going to call you like Abraham to pick up away from your family and move to some strange land. He's not going to do these types of things, you know what I mean? He's not going to send a flood or anything. But when we follow God, when we have enough faith, we can see great things. And I've seen those things, and I know some of you have too, and we've seen them here at this church. We've seen people restored from deep, deep addictions that they had that controlled their lives. That's faith. That's the power of the gospel. That's their mothers and fathers and their brothers and sisters and their brothers and sisters in Christ taking the time to stop and pray for them and have faith that God can restore them. You can see families brought back together after trial and tragedy and divorce, and God coming and restoring them and making them whole. You've seen people set free from the things that control them for so long. These are the things that faith can do. It can conquer mountains, and it can move mountains, and it can throw mountains into the sea, like it says in the Gospels. You can overcome anything if you have faith in God. No situation is too great. No depression is too dark. No anger is too much. No disease is too powerful. No age or no cancer or nothing is too much that God cannot restore if that's how He chooses to work. We've got to have faith and continue to follow Him. This is what faith can do. I think this also means to us that trials will come. Life and death will come. We'll have struggles. We'll have tragedy. And I've seen people who love God dearly, who have followed Him with everything they have, who have given Him their life, face great trial. You know, earlier this year, there was a pastor from a church in North Carolina who was just out for, he had his pilot's license, and he was out for a fly with his son out on the plane, and the plane crashed and burned. And there's a mother, and there's a sister, and a brother, I think, and a church left without them. So we can't say that they didn't have enough faith. They were following God. They were trying to do the right thing. Trials are going to come. It's the nature of the world we live in, and we will face trials too. But listen to this. In verse 36, I want to read you again. And others experienced mockings and scourgings and chains and imprisonment. And they were stoned, and they were sawn in half, and they were tempted, and they were put to death with the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins. They were destitute and afflicted and ill-treated. And they were men of whom the world was not worthy. And they wandered in deserts and mountains and caves and holes in the ground. These are the things that faith can get you through. These are the things that faith can get you through. For us this morning, it might not look like that. None of us live in caves. Nobody's wearing a goat skin this morning. Nobody's going to come in here and try and torture us. But we will face death in our families. We will face financial problems. We will face family members who choose to turn from God. We will face just oppression and struggles in our own life. And these are the things that faith can get us through. The first part of the chapter is about what faith can do. The second part is also, but it's more about what faith can get us through. Having faith and holding on to God and knowing that He can get us through these things. So we're all here this morning, and I know that we need to hear this on one or two fronts. Either you need the power to get through. You need the power to get through the tragedy. I don't know all of you personally like I would like to. I don't know the things that go on in your life. Some of you might have pain or things that have been haunting you, following you for years or decades. And you need the power that faith can bring. Not that everything will be easy, not that everything is going to work out, but that you can trust and know that God is there and know that His word is sure and that He sets our feet upon the rock, that He hears us, that He knows our pain and He knows our triumph. You might be here and you need the power. You need the power to get through, like they talked about in the first half. You need the power to get through, and you're facing an obstacle in your life, and you need the power of God to get through it. Without faith, it is impossible to believe God. You need to hope in something that you cannot see. You need to believe in something that you cannot feel. You need to stand on something that you can't feel or see under and underneath you. You need that this morning. And that's why we're here. One of my favorite phrases in the Psalms, in Psalm 72, is David is going on about his life. And David saw his share of troubles. He was told he would be king, and he was chased for a while by Saul. He was persecuted. He tried to kill him. He sought after him for a long time. He lived in mountains, and he lived in caves and holes in the ground. And in Psalm 72, in the first half, he pours out his complaint to God, and right in the middle, he says, "Nevertheless, still I will trust you. Nevertheless, still I will trust you." So, this morning, I know we're here on one of those two fronts. If you're not in the middle of a trial, chances are you will be soon. There's a good number of us here this morning. There's probably a good number of people who need to remember to have faith in God and remember to get through. Like we shared with the students, when they get back, when they made decisions for God, that their life would still be difficult. And many of you, your lives are a testament to that. You could stand up and we could share. But I think we all need to be reminded this morning that we need to have faith in God. So they'll come and play, and Paul will lead us in a song just like we always do. If you want to come forward and to pray, please do that. If you just want to come forward and to pray that God would give you faith, that you would hope for things that you cannot see, that you would put your trust in things that you cannot feel, do that. If you've been facing a great tragedy in your life, please have faith in God. I know it's easy for me to stand here and say that because I know some of the tragedies that some of you have seen, some of the trials that you have seen. But please have faith in God. Please trust Him. Please know that He's the only one who can get you through. Not me, not Brian, not your mother or father, not your spouse or your children, not your friends or your family, not things that we turn to try and get us through, our addictions, but only Him. Have faith in God. Please, if that's you this morning, come forward and pray. And I want you to know that whatever you're facing in your life, you can get through it. You can get through it. You'll be scarred when you come out on the other side, but you'll come out. Sometimes you won't come out until you finally come out on the other side in heaven. But I promise you, if you have faith in God and believe Him, believe that He sent His Son to die for us and that He gives us hope, you will come through it. There is nothing so great in your life that God cannot guide you through it. You might need to come forward and just have faith for the first time, and you come forward and do that. Let's bow our heads.